How many people are real estate agents? I'm telling you, much more content about the towns that you sell in. Much more. Go interview the principal of the high school and put that on your social media for all the people that are considering to move and really care about the school system. Go interview the entrepreneur who's had a 50 years family restaurant business in town. Be the mayor or the newspaper of your town with your social, because if every single post coming out of your mouth is this open house and buy this, you're gonna lose the audience. You can't close on every breath.
Attention is the number one asset.
At this point in my career, there's enough stuff that I put out on the internet and I'm quite consistent that I think the biggest value I can bring is actually let you go into the details of your questions under the macro and get into the micro. But to just set it up for the individuals here who may be a little less familiar, let me start with this. I'm writing a new book. I'm about to finish it. It's a follow-up from a book that I wrote 10 years ago that is outside of Crush It, my first book, the book that I most get emails and DMs about saying thank you or this impacted me, and that was a book called Jab, 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 Right Hook. And that book mattered for a lot of people because I wrote it at a time when people weren't realizing that content in social media, more so than anything else, was about to become the battleground of growth, popularity, opportunity. And that book was really fun to write at the time. And I think we're in that same moment again now. So originally I was gonna call it Jab, 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 Left Hook. But I've decided to call it Day Trading Attention. And I really wanna talk about day trading attention. I'm thrilled to get into a lot of things that run through my mind, both culturally and content-wise here with all of you today. I think a lot of what is the variable of what's gonna happen with you is I started my career of making content. First it was wine, and then it was very tactical internet marketing and like what was going on. And as some of you may know, it's really evolved now to a much higher plane of perspective because I went 4 or 5 years telling people exactly what to do on Twitter or Facebook or Tumblr at the time or YouTube. And I just would watch event and event and event like this consistently. All the content I was putting out, I would just see so many people not do it. And that's what got me to the next plane of what I think about and spend time on now, which is why are people not doing that? And it got me into the concepts of insecurity and confidence and patience and all the stuff that I really am quite passionate about. How do you balance? Here's a big one for this crew, probably across the board. How do you balance hunger and tenacity and ambition with patience? How many people here consume some of my content? Have a sense of me, just raise your hands. Thank you. The reason I wanted to see that was to go where I'm about to go. As a lot of you know, I push patience heavy. And most people struggle with it because they hear, I say patience and y'all hear complacency. Ambition and patience balanced perfectly is sustainable happiness and success. Ambition grounded in the need to happen quickly because you're insecure and you want to show everybody you made it is a fucking death trap. And so that's why I got into patience. But before I get into the mindset stuff and some of the stuff that I'm really thinking about to give you any chance of success sustained and long-term, I am gonna go a little bit tactical and in the weeds. The one thing that 100% connects every single person in this room is regardless of what you do, real estate, mortgages, any other entrepreneurial venture, thinking about starting a side hustle, doing videography, being an agency, whatever it might be, the only thing that I can guaranteely talk about right now that will hit every person, which is why I want to talk about it, is that every one of you is a media company first, and then you are who you are. Everybody in this room, if you do, you know, houseware, if you sell sneakers, if you're a lawyer, if you're a tax accountant, everybody here, the second they understand how serious I am about what I'm saying here, everyone here is a media company, comma, what you do for a living. And that is a big change from the history of business. And so, what I'm concerned about is that there's a lot of people here who see or hear what I'm saying, but don't want to make video content. They're insecure how they look, they're not comfortable in it, And I want you to hear something from somebody who probably benefited from the growth of internet video as much as anyone has over the last 15 years. It is not a requirement to be a media company. Let me explain. Let me give you a very detailed insight that nobody's taking advantage of, just if someone's in the mood to go test for the next 30 days. Instagram, super visual. If you are a remarkable writer here, actually, you know what? Let me do this real quick before I even say this. I'm gonna ask all of you the gift of talking, the ability to do video, and the ability to write. I'm gonna ask all of you to think right now, if I asked you what you're best at, talking, so you can do audio, like a podcast, video, which obviously has a component of talking, but also is a video, and it's a different dynamic, or writing. Out of those three, to communicate, to make the thing that you want to happen in your world, I'm gonna ask everybody right now to raise their hand for what they do best. If you are best at writing of those three, please raise your hands high. Raise them high. Thank you. Audio, no video involved, but just talking. Raise them high, I see some bullshit hands. Sir in the back there, that's a little low. A little higher? There you go, my man. Big number. Video, perfect. If you looked, little less unwritten, right? And the other two, audio and video, kind of a 50-50, must have been 60-40. I need everybody to hear this. The only thing I've done well in my professional career is I had self-awareness and I executed against my self-awareness. The only thing I was good at always was not trying to be anybody that I wasn't. Not trying to appease anyone. It showed up bad early on because I was such a bad student and I got D's and F's and it seemingly looked like a weakness. But even at 10, 11, 12 years old, I had such conviction of who I was gonna be that I genuinely understood that that framework of learning wasn't working for me and I needed to do it a different way. So I need everybody to hear this. There is a direct correlation of how much you're gonna grow if you're in the interest of growing. And I'm gonna assume if you're here on a Friday afternoon, like there's nobody who should be here if they're not interested in growing. So I'm just gonna make a blank assumption that everyone here is looking to do something with themselves. There's a direct correlation on how successful you will be based on how good you are at making content for the internet, period. And by the way, I want everyone to hear this. Millions of people will build successful businesses without producing content for the internet. You can build a great reputation behind the scenes, you can do it. But there's a direct correlation of how big your upside can be based on how good you are at producing content for the internet. The thing that no one's telling you is, it doesn't have to be video. It doesn't have to be video, you don't have to be over the top and ridiculous. Like I'm so sad that I'm so high energy. I wish a lot of times that I wasn't, because it still would have happened for me. I didn't get here because I'm a hyper Jersey boy. I got here because I understood distribution and I only talk about shit I know. The reason I started a wine show first when I saw this was because it was the thing I most knew. I almost did a New York Jets show too, but like that was the only other thing that I debated besides the wine show. If the people in this room can understand that the people that win on the internet making content do not have to be experts. Think about all of you in your business and your craft right now where you know people are growing online but don't actually have as much depth of knowledge in the craft that you have. You don't have to position yourself as an expert. It's the biggest mistake that people make. The two biggest mistakes that people make is one, they think it's only video without realizing that the people that raise their hand for written word or audio can win just as much. Malcolm Gladwell does not have a daily TikTok. He wins, because he writes. There's plenty of podcasters, less now because everybody's filming themselves do the podcast, they figured it out, but there's plenty of podcasters who still don't crush a daily Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube Shorts framework. The two biggest mistakes people make is they think there's only one way to do content online when written word right now is the fastest emerging. What's going on LinkedIn, or back to the way I got to this point earlier, here's the hack on Instagram. You can literally take a picture of anything. It would be nice that it makes sense to what you're talking about. But if you then write three meaningful paragraphs with that photo, you would be stunned how much you can grow and win on Instagram. It is far less a visual only platform. And on the flip side, because there's some good looking fucking people in this room right now, so I'm making some assumption that you're hitting the gram pretty hard. The other mistake is the reverse. Too many people are just relying on the video and the photo, and they're mailing in the copy, and the copy is an enormous variable of the success on Instagram. The two biggest mistakes that people make are they don't realize that any one of the three mediums that I made you raise your hands about are all viable, and two, they don't focus on talking about shit they actually know. They posture and front to be an expert in something before they are, without realizing that if they were just authentic and said, this is my journey to becoming knowledgeable in real estate, this is my journey in becoming knowledgeable in DTC, this is my journey into being knowledgeable into fashion, or even better, if you want to be foolproof, don't say you're an expert, say you're an enthusiast. People's insecurity of trying to position themselves as an expert when they know they're not fully there is hurting them tremendously with growth opportunity. So day trading attention is a very basic game of how do you not waste money and how do you take any money you actually spend on building your business and extract the most value. Let me explain. How many people here have done influencer marketing? You've paid an influencer to do something for your business. Raise your hands high. I just want to get a sense. All right, enough for me to go with it. Let's talk about influencer marketing. Today, as we sit here today, October 2023, influencer marketing is one of the places where you most can get a remarkable deal for your $1,000 or $5,000 or $50,000, or could get completely ripped off for your $1,000, $5,000, $50,000. The swings of it working are extreme. It means you actually have to know the craft. It means you have to be not tricked by just following count. It means that you have to know what engagement really means. Is engagement, they're just gonna consume it? Or does engagement mean they're gonna convert? Most people are using influencer marketing the wrong way because they're only looking for it to sell the thing right away instead of building the brand. Most of us bought the clothes we're wearing right now, not because they cookied us and followed us around the internet and made us buy it, or they knocked on our door and sold it. It's because you wanted it because it was built on brand. Too many people in a room like this think so short-term transactional in every single aspect of how they're building their thing that it leaves them to not be able to grow into the full brand because they're constantly in sales mode instead of marketing and branding mode. There's a direct conflict between selling and marketing. And all that selling is someone who can't market. Let me say that again nice and slow. And by the way, I'm a salesman, I love selling shit. But for everyone in this room, if you want to go to that next place, understanding how to be in branding and marketing, which actually is, you know, back to like my journey, is quite enjoyable when you're like, you don't have the stress of every interaction being something that you need to create an outcome. So there's a lot of people here who could be bringing a lot more value to their audience by actually educating, you know, let me just use real estate agents. How many people are real estate agents? So real estate agents, I'm telling you, much more content about the towns that you sell in, much more. Like go interview the principal of the high school and put that on your social media for all the people that are considering to move and really care about the school system. Go interview the entrepreneur who's had a 50 years family restaurant business in town. Like be the mayor or the newspaper of your town with your social. Because if every single post coming out of your mouth is this open house and buy this, you're gonna lose the audience. You can't close on every breath. And the fact that social media is free, it's free. I don't know if anybody here has done other marketing besides organic posting on social media, but you can't go buy a full page ad in a newspaper for free. You can't run a commercial on TV for free. For the real estate agents, like the billboards and the bench ads at the bus stop, not free. Everything else costs money, and social media is the one place, of course you can run ads on social, but social media is the one place that every person in this room, especially the way it's going now with the TikTokification of social media, the fact that every single person now can post one post on TikTok and get hundreds of thousands of people to see it based on the merit of the content, that is bananas. And let me go back to that because I think a lot of people don't know what's happening right now, hence why I've decided to write the book again. The social media that I got into, and for a history lesson, it worked out real well for me. I was an early investor in Facebook and Twitter in 2006. That social media I grew up with was more like email marketing. How many people here have done email marketing in their career? Raise your hands. Social was email marketing. You would try to get followers, you would post, and a percentage of those followers would see it, right? That's why I understood it. I crushed email marketing in the mid 90s, late 90s. Social made sense to me. Get 1,000 followers, 30 or 40% of them will see it. Good, let me keep building. The social media we all find ourselves in right this second is not based on the social graph, not based on us following each other and you get a chance of seeing. It's now based on the interest graph. It's based on what are we into. And so this is what's happening with the algorithms. What does this mean to everyone here? There are people in this room who've not spent one day trying to be good at social when it's the most important thing to their business. And tomorrow, unlike the last 15 years I've been on stages like this, where I'd be like, shit, you know, if we get into Q&A and you're like, Gary, you know, honestly, you inspired me. I'm gonna get serious about social now. Like, what should I do? My brain be like, fuck, you got like 6 years before this gets good. The fact that if somebody raises their hand in this room and asks that same question to me right now, and I know if they happen to be talented or if they listen to me carefully and get educated on how to be good at it, and all that information's free on the internet, you don't even have to buy a cockamanian $16 book, that their second or third post could get 1 million views and start the process of changing their business, that is like insane to me. And I continue to stand on my own 2 feet every single day, and I am baffled by the collective inaction by entrepreneurs and individuals on this opportunity. This is arguably the greatest opportunity for the individual since the birth of the United States of America. It is literally free distribution, and people aren't doing anything about it. And so I highly compel you to stop thinking about social. Actually, let me put it this way. I have a personal brand. I'm a media company and I happen to do stuff. I have 29 full-time employees on my content. I'm gonna say it again. I went for big impact with the silence there. I just really need everyone to hear this because there's a lot of people growing here. There's a lot of people winning here. There's a lot of people starting their journey here. I don't really know, I'm just really trying to ground you in real shit. I'm gonna say it nice and slow one more time. I have 29 full-time employees on just my content in my 2,000 person VaynerMedia agency because that's how important this is. And by the way, more and more of them are now all over the world because with AI, you're gonna see me speaking every language in the world, converting all my content, because I'm trying to win everywhere. I'm trying to win with 8 billion people. I wanna be as big in Johannesburg as I wanna be in Dallas. I wanna be as big in Saudi Arabia as I wanna be in Cincinnati. And so, I just can't comprehend being in this room on a Friday afternoon, which means you're ambitious and going for it, in October 2023, and all of you continue to fucking not put in the work in the one place that has the disproportionate impact on your business. And good news, I didn't invent these platforms. I have no emotion in platform. I'm gonna leave in an hour and could give a shit if you actually do it. But I need you to hear me. I need you to hear me. This is the best opportunity to get, you think you're too late. I know what you're thinking. I get 100,000 DMs a day. I know what you're thinking. I read that shit. I read an hour's worth on the flight from New York to here right now. Gary, it's too late. I'm 30. My life's over. You know, I didn't listen to you 5 years ago on TikTok. I missed it. You didn't miss anything. All that is you using excuses to not put in the work. There's a lot of people. How many people here would consider themselves in good physical shape? Raise your hands. For the people that just raised their hands, have you been in a position within the last 10 years, not you're nitpicking because you're a beast, but I mean like, no, you were like me, like 10 years ago, I was a piece of crap, now I'm decent-ish, as you know, because he filmed the guy that worked me out every single day at 6 a.m. How many people here who just raised their hand and said that they're in good, solid physical health were at some point in the last 10 years completely not there? Raise your hands. All right. Actually, can you all stand up? Can you stand up? Don't bullshit me. Stand up. I want everybody to visualize this. Please don't get lazy. I saw some of you raise your hand and you're not standing. Get up if you feel this. I just want everybody to look at this because this is going to land it. Look around. Thank you. You can all sit. There was no shortcut. I mean, unless you got real bank and you fucking did the whole plastic surgery thing. It was work. There was no shortcut. I have unlimited people in the fitness space that ask me for business advice, and the only thing they're asking me for is the shortcut. In physical health land, they realize all that bullshit apple and fucking apple vinegar pills and all the horror. They know that's all bullshit. The work is eat properly, fucking do your exercise routine properly, especially if you want muscle, like do the exercise properly, put the protein. It's fucking basic. I could sit here and tell every person that doesn't feel good about their health exactly what to do on a 101 education of it. The problem is it's hard. I'm not saying anything profound. I'm telling you that you need to post 3, 4, 7, 12, 19 times a day on social media and that you will double, triple, quadruple your business. I just think most of you don't want to take money out of your pocket and hire someone to help you do it. You'd rather take that money and buy some dumb shit. And so that's how I see the world. And I think it's an enormous opportunity right now, especially because I would be on stages like this for the last decade, and there was a little bit of you're a little behind because it was email marketing. You hadn't started yet. I have 7 million followers. I am ahead. The fact that I'm not ahead of anybody in this room right now, besides brand and being known, we are all now in an incredible era of social media where the content itself, the single post every time, is your variable, not how many followers you have. That's crazy. So I'm gonna say it one more time just to put a bow on it, because if I'm anyone in this room and I haven't been thinking about this right, this should be the single biggest encourager. The fact that everyone on every day at some level, which is not fully true because fame and awareness does matter, but the fact that every day, people that have never ever gone viral, ever been consistent, have 12 followers every day on TikTok right now, specifically more, though Instagram and Facebook and YouTube Shorts are starting to act this way more and more every day, that people are posting their first video about real estate, or have you thought about this mortgage thing, or have you thought about, you know, soup or clean eating or whatever the hell you're into, are having a single video pop them off and start the process. It's incredibly exciting. And I will say something else. It will not last forever. These things ebb and flow. And so I highly encourage you to understand how big the opportunity of day trading attention is, how serious it is to figure out yourself and say, okay, look, I'm insecure. I don't want to be on camera. I don't want people to talk about how I look. I got you. That's a whole different game and a different work stream. But that shouldn't stop you tomorrow from taking your iPhone, hitting the record button on audio, and spitting your knowledge for 6 minutes and then just posting the audio on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram. Do we have that? Understood? Cool. Thank you. Let's clap that up because I need some energy. Before I go into Q&A, and then please, when we go into Q&A, for the people that raised your hands, you want to ask me about anything like TikTok stuff, running your agency, running a team, the New York Jets, what they're going to do against the Broncos this weekend, whatever you need, I'm here for it. So think about where you want to go. The other thing I want to talk about is very near and dear to my heart. How many people here have more than 5 employees? Raise your hand. Raise it high, just to get a sense. Okay, I'll go there then. Thank you. For the people in here that raised their hand with 5 or more employees, there's a couple things I'd like to talk about, which is predominantly under the bucket of culture. I'm surprised by how many people think it's interesting or cool or different when I talk about the stuff I talk about around kindness or empathy or things of that nature. But I'm not surprised because I'm 47 and I grew up in Jersey, and I know that like everyone thinks like nice guys finish last, and like you've got to be a gangster to win, and it's a ruthless world and sharp elbows and all that stuff. I would just highly encourage the people that just raised their hands to really realize how ridiculous of a concept nice guys finishing last is. And that in real life of business, especially where we are now, where employees have more and more options, including just doing their own side hustle, culture really matters. And I highly recommend people look themselves in the mirror tonight and ask themselves, are they like the 80% or even 90%? And do they run their teams with fear? Like if you threaten to fire someone with an aggressive voice, you're losing. And let me explain why. And just, I know a lot of people in this room don't fully know me. I'm not foofy, kumbaya guy. I'm not your grandma. The stuff I'm talking about is actually how you make more money. I'm not looking to overcoddle Gen Z. That's not where I'm going with this. I think one of the biggest issues, literally, in America is eighth place trophies. The reason everyone's so insecure is we tell these kids when they're little, losing is bad. I promise you, the only reason I'm on this stage is because of my relationship with losing. I love losing. It's so sick. I like it more than winning. We have to get people prepared for losing. You give eighth place trophies, you're demonizing losing, and then these kids go into the wild and life is different. Mommy and daddy aren't there to yell at the teachers. So, how many people have parents in here? Raise your hands. I think we can all understand the coddling is what leads to the issues, right? And so I highly recommend taking a step back and understanding that. And that's how I think about work. At work, I'm not talking about creating entitlement, but I am talking about that in America and most of the rest of the world, the rules at work are all fucked up. When I got into the agency game, like our dude was saying earlier, for the last 15 years, I didn't realize how many people cried at work. If you have employees crying at your job, you are losing. You've got the wrong game. I'm telling you, you have the wrong game. And what's happening that I don't think people see is as the internet and as AI and all these things start to pop up, people have more options. When everyone's like, Gen Z is so fucking soft and entitled, or they're smart, would you rather go work for $11 an hour doing something you fucking hate? Or would you rather make $50,000 a year in social media ads, making videos, doing the shit you love? We need to be careful about our judgment. This is not about entitlement, this is about options. And there's a lot of entrepreneurs and leaders with employees who are not understanding the enormous hidden value of building a nice culture. And what most leaders struggle with, because most people are actually not all that bad, it's when there's pressure, they're the worst version of themselves. When I really analyze, and I just said that I watched a lot of people body language to me, like, yeah, this is the one, leaders. This is the one. One more time, five or more employees. My friends, please, I'm telling you, this is the one. When something is fucked up, when an employee is directly attributable to you losing revenue, that's when you need to be nicer to them, not the reverse. And that's not how we were taught. And that's not how the game was built. And that is absolutely one of the other biggest opportunities. The two biggest opportunities for growth in this full room, regardless of where you're at, is content and culture. Content is hard because it's hard work. It's like the gym. And culture is hard because it doesn't land natural. People just don't think it's right. Like they hear me, they want to be, but it feels delusional. It feels ideological. But it's remarkably achievable. And I just think that you're taking employees for granted. I mean it. And I think you think they don't have another option. And because the last 13 times you said you're sorry and it was okay, that the 14th time it will be too. But I promise you, especially, and I know how business, how many of the people with five employees or less, excuse me, or more, also don't have 100 employees? You're between 5 and 99. Raise your hands, especially for this crew. At that level, a lot of times, you're way more vulnerable based on one or two of your employees than you want to think. Actually, let's all close, that crew, just sit for a second with me because I feel that. I appreciate the energy back on that. In your mind, like, really just think for a second. If your top two people that really, right? If they're gone tomorrow, what? So please live that life. A, run a good business and always have a backup. I literally have a backup for a backup of a backup of every important person in my company. Not because I'm gonna run a bad culture, but people grow and they wanna do something else, or God forbid, like, you get older, sad shit happens, right? People get sick. People have something horrible happen. This is devastating for me. A super top employee of mine, actually, ironically, this story's grounded in Dallas. A major employee of mine for the last 6 years, cruising, perfect. Her single best friend in the world, they're both in their 40s, just passed away from cancer, and she's super shook. She doesn't have a family of her own, and she's taking time off to take care of that woman's baby. I just come in on Monday morning, that person's gone. Thank God for me, and thank God for her, because I'm treating her incredibly well. I've got the backup of the backup of the backup, so we can absorb it. But a lot of you don't even have a backup for one employee right now that you can put in your mind. And more importantly, I get that, because you don't have unlimited money to hire everybody, but I don't understand why you don't treat everyone like family. That I'll never understand. You are not better than, because it's your business. If you're a leader, you work for them. They don't work for you. It's true, brother, thank you. And honestly, if you're acting the reverse of what I'm talking about, I'm just gonna give you an inside secret that you may not know. All that means is you're deeply insecure. And all that means is you're tricking the 95% of losers, but the 5% of winners see you. So I highly recommend you have that talk with yourself.